Hey everyone, I'm Scott Cunningham, aka Scottsy Business, and today we're going to be talking about budgeting in 2022. First, I'll riff a little bit about why I really think you need to budget, why most people don't really think that it matters, and why most people don't actually do it. And then I'll go through actually how you would set it up if you really just don't know how, and that's your reason for not really starting. And then I'll end off by sharing, you know, some tips and tricks and things that I do and I did to save money if you need to save money. And I'm sure most people are looking for various ways that they can do that. I have some tips that are more reasonable, some that are more extreme. But the idea is you want to be able to save a percentage of your income. And based on the percentage that you're able to save, you can actually determine exactly when you can retire based on keeping up that saving percentile and then investing that money. So let's jump into it after a quick word from my sponsor.
A big thank you and shout out to my sponsor, Cake Wallet, which is an open source, non-custodial Bitcoin and Monero wallet that also has a built-in exchange. It's available on iOS and Android.
Okay, so before we jump into it, I wanted to just talk a little bit about budgeting and the average people who do or do not budget. So according to some of the stuff that I just very briefly searched up because I was curious before I started this, in 2020, about 35% of Americans kept a budget. In 2022 now, only 32% do, which is only 3% less, but still. Interestingly enough, this does seem to correlate to some degree with reports that estimate between 50 to 70% of Americans are struggling financially. So one might assume that if 70% of Americans are struggling and 32% are budgeting, then there's probably a pretty big overlap of, you know, somewhere in there where, okay, probably a lot more of the people who are budgeting are struggling less. And maybe in that 30% that are not struggling. But that is an assumption because I can't prove that. It's more likely due to inflation, gas costs, poor government oversight, all these things. But there is something to be said about personal accountability, and that's where budgeting comes into play. Because it's not just about like trying to save money and be frugal, which you should try to if you can. It's not even about like changing your spending. It's about knowing holistically where your money goes. Even if you don't intend originally to make any changes, just understanding where your money is going is a benefit in itself. Just knowing how you're actually spending your money is very useful information. Because again, even if originally you don't intend to change, maybe when you see, wow, I'm spending 20% of my yearly income on Uber Eats, and you'll think, maybe I need to budget and say only once a week am I allowed to order Uber Eats. It comes down to willpower, obviously, keeping up with your budget, all these things as well. But at the beginning, it's just getting it all in front of you and having a holistic view of your finances as a whole. And again, whether you actually intend to try to improve your finances, this is always going to be the first step. And for most people that I talk to who are struggling with their finances, one of the first questions I will always ask is, do you have a budget? And they will say no, largely because almost no one I know keeps a budget. But it's always the case that people are struggling with money tend to not have a budget because they also don't like talking about finances. And that's another thing. When I started to really embrace personal finance and budget, invest, save, all this stuff that I started doing 4 or 5 years ago, it all accumulates together. You have to be okay with talking about finance, even if you're doing poorly, because if you can't talk about it, how are you going to learn? How are you going to improve? How are you going to get tips and tricks and things from other people if you're unwilling to discuss it? Because, you know, maybe you're doing very poorly with your finances, you're not budgeting, you're ashamed, whatever it happens to be, you know, even if you're just talking about budgeting with someone, like, oh, how do you keep your budgets? Like, what are some tips you have? You don't necessarily need to say, oh, I'm doing very poorly. You can just talk about finances without having like a stigma attached to it. And that's a big part of it, because I can't remember who said this. It might have been Robert Kiyosaki, who I'm not a huge fan of, but he has some interesting wisdom in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he said, poor people don't talk about finance. And it keeps them poor because they can't get out of their rut that they're in because they don't talk about or find a way to get out of that. They just talk about other things and they don't have any focus, or it's not a part of their daily life. A lot of what budgeting is trying to help you with is just being very mindful of your spending and your finances and trying to integrate it more into your everyday life. Most people say, oh, what? Like, I know how much I spend. You know, I go here and I go there and I spend my money and I have enough to make it to the end of the month, so it's fine. You know, I generally have an idea. It's like, great. But you can't optimize something if you do not track it. This is just obvious, right? Like, if you're a runner and you don't track any of your times, but you run every day, maybe you're getting better. But you literally cannot know that you're getting better if you're not tracking it. And you say, okay, well, maybe I track it once a month. Okay, well, you could track on the monthly if you are doing better. And that would still be better than not tracking at all. Thus, you could only do your budgeting once a month, and that would significantly better than doing it not at all, because now you at least have some idea of how well or poorly you're doing. And now you know where you can make improvements. So the only way to make improvements is to first start tracking. Same thing with your weight, with literally anything, right? So that's obviously the first thing. Then you can start optimizing it. And we'll talk about that after we get into it. Right now, we're going to jump into actually how do you budget and how would that, what would that look like? I've got my link in the description to this template that I've created. I'm sure there's better templates out there. There's apps that you can use. There's a million different ways to do it. This is just a very, very simple way to track your expenses just using an Excel sheet. Mine's way more complicated because I include crypto and my taxes, and it's just a mess. But this is the template that I'm going to give you guys. So we've got your title at the top, the expense, so whatever we're actually talking about, how much it's costing you monthly, or if you have a yearly cost and it's not every month, or you want to look at how much it costs based on the yearly amount. There's a lot of ways you can do this, right? And then your overall, what you actually spent, and then estimating that throughout, you know, you find your monthly cost, times it by 12, get your estimate for the whole year. And then this gives you an idea of how much money you're going to spend this year. And then you can track how much you're actually spending. And then what I also like to do is, after you've done a full year, I take the previous year and I put it in another column to the right. And then I compare how I'm doing this year versus the previous year. Because obviously, I'd like to try to cut expenses where possible. But it's always good to compare not just week over week or month over month, but year over year is also very good to look at as well. So all you really have to start doing here is say, okay, so you put in $140 and then it'll automatically tally it all up at the bottom of each of these categories. And then you've got like the names of each categories on the left here. And it's a little, it could maybe be a little more optimized because it looks like this is the spend for this, but it's actually the spend for the above section. Anyways, you go through and you start adding everything up, right? $60 on my phone, $1,000 a month for rent, $200 a month for utilities. My rental insurance is only $15. You know, I used to pay $180 a month for my student loans, spend $100 on gas, $166 on my car insurance. And I know all this stuff just because I'm so on top of my budget. So it's all just like mental now. And eventually, ideally, you could get there too. Groceries is about $400. I say $450 now because of inflation. Administrative, I wouldn't put anything for these. These are more like one-time expenses. Administrative is like renewing your ID, things like that. Stuff that you have to do. Generally, the first section are important bills and things that you literally, you have to do. I mean, you can't not renew your license and you can't not pay for car insurance, etc. So now we know that I absolutely have to have $2,311 a month to be able to afford my lifestyle each month. And then as you go through each month, you'll add your payments once you've actually paid them. And then the second month, you know, and so on and so on. And you will just add them up and see if your estimates are actually accurate. You can rejig these at the end of the year or, you know, 6 months in or whatever to make sure that they are accurate and that you are tracking along based on what you've actually estimated. So the idea here is that, again, you can track and see where everything is being spent. You can see how much you're actually spending. And then once you've got it all laid out, now you can say, okay, well, you know, what if I'm able to renegotiate my car insurance to $150? And then you see automatically the change there. And now you can play with the numbers to try to move around your expenses to get the most optimal budget possible. And it feels a little, you know, boring typing in numbers, blah, blah, blah. But when you're doing it with the perspective in mind that the less I can spend each month, the lower requirement I need to survive. And if I can save a specific amount, the general number is, if you can save 65% of your income for 10 years in a row, you can literally retire off of that when it's invested. And that's pretty impressive. I mean, it depends on how much you're spending, obviously. So if you're spending a lot less, then it's going to make it much easier to achieve that. And I mean, most people are not going to even come close to 65% of their income saved. Most people, 10%, maybe not even that. But I've been really pushing hard. I mean, this year I've been slacking, but previous years, I 70%, 65%, 60% the last 3 years. So I averaged about 65% over the last 3 years. This year is probably going to be closer to 50, but you know, that's well beyond the average. I mean, even if you aim for 30% and you get 20%, you're still ahead of the majority of people. So, you know, don't worry too much about that, but it's a good way to help you get an idea of where you should aim for. Anyways, continuing on. Below your basic expenses, we have necessary extras. So things that you do need, but you're not going to, you know, get your car taken away or be evicted or, you know, not have access to communications, etc. So a lot of the things above you kind of need. Like, it's pretty hard to not have internet these days, as an example, right? But you could generally go without buying a lot of hygiene products. And I'm not saying, obviously, like, you're going to just never shampoo and you're never going to shower. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if it absolutely came down to it, you could cut a lot of these things out, or at least significantly cut them down, cut down the budget. You could put water in your shampoo and extend the life of it. I'm not saying these are necessarily ideal. But if you're struggling and you're absolutely desperate for ways to save money, there are ways to do it. And I've just categorized this and ordered it in the way that it's easier for me to say, okay, well, I know if I really need to get rid of something, I can go to my discretionary fund and I can just like cut stuff out really easily. It's not really going to be that big of a deal. I'm not going to like it, but it's going to be easy to do that. You can organize this however you want, honest, obviously, but this is just the way that I've approached it to make it easier for me when I'm trying to optimize for things. So say, you know, every month you're spending $35 on hygiene products as a guy, maybe not even that much. Supplies and tools, you know, let's say $15, cleaning supplies, 20 bucks. You got your gym membership for 65 bucks a month or whatever. Say you spend 50 bucks a month, or maybe not 50 bucks, like $20 on medicine, 25, let's say. Travel expenses, if you take Uber or you go to hotels or do anything like that, that's more so of like a one-time expense unless you regularly take Ubers to go to the bar or do something like that. So I'll just say zero. Maintenance and repairs, I'll say zero because it's more of a one-time expense. Clothing, for me, that's a one-time expense. It's not like a monthly expense, so I'll say zero. And then coffee, let's say I spend $20 a month max. I do need to, I guess I need to switch all of these to accounting. This will just take me a second. There we go. Yes, because they should already all be on accounting mode. Okay. So then now we know $180 is how much I spend a month on necessary extras. And then you can get into the more discretionary things. And then I keep subscriptions. They're discretionary as well, but I just keep them in their own section just to sort of make it easier for me to, you know, manage the individual categories. But, you know, not really spending on electronics regularly or miscellaneous things. That's kind of just like anything that you can't think of that goes in another category. Say you maybe get a haircut once a month for $25, $30. Luxuries, like alcohol, smoking, things like that. Say $100. Gambling, I don't really gamble. Leisure is like anything, so who knows? I'll just put $50. Video games is usually like one-time purchases. It's not like a monthly thing. Junk food or eating out. This is where most people are going to lie to themselves. So I'll put $200 to be realistic. Oh, and I have two miscellaneous. It's kind of awkward. I'll change that to something else. I don't know exactly what I'll change it to, but maybe I'll just get rid of it to make this simple. Home amenities, you know, towels, things like that. I mean, eventually you're going to need to buy towels. You can do whatever you want. Maybe you have like a charity that you donate to on a regular basis, or maybe you just offhandedly donate whenever you need to. So it really depends. Not all this stuff is going to be monthly. Sometimes it's just you tracking how much you're spending, and then you want to set some sort of limit for yourself. Like say, I only want to spend, you know, maximum $500 a year this year on electronics. So, you know, we have that for electronics. I've got my overall estimate and then my budget limitations. Kind of the same thing, but essentially the overall estimate will change if it needs to reflect what I'm actually spending. This is what I originally set out for the year as my like goals. So they're almost the same thing. This is the actual tracking of my estimate based on what I'm actually spending. And then this is like the goal that I'm aiming for. So, and your goal could just be exactly what you have here. So this could all be the same, like I sort of have it. But you know, you can do whatever you want to do. I like to have my goals and then obviously track things and see how it all plays out. But so you can go through here and you can say what you're willing to spend on all these things. Like, I don't know necessarily what I might spend on miscellaneous items. So we'll say $100. And again, if there's anything that you aren't really sure of, there's always going to be money that's going to come up. You're going to have to balance your budget. You're not going to be 100% diligent to what you've set out to do. So say you set aside $2,000 for the whole year for balancing your budget. You know, you go out for a couple more things, or you go on some vacation, or you go to a wedding or whatever. You know, there's money that's got to be balanced out in some which way that you didn't originally consider, because you should try to consider everything, but you don't want to overwhelm yourself trying to come up with everything, right? So haircuts for the year, you know, let's say like $350 or something like that. $50 a month for leisure. I'll lower that. And I'm not doing perfect math here, so don't be too upset if this isn't exactly 12 times what I have here. I'm just kind of like roughly doing this. Oh, well, obviously not going to spend nothing on video games. Probably $100 on gambling. And this is kind of me pricing this out for myself. So you can do whatever you think is more reasonable. This is a lot of weddings this year and things. Emergency supplies. I spent like $3,000 this year on emergency supplies. maybe that doesn't make sense for you, but I'm going to include it in here to encourage you guys to stock up, because part of being really confident with your finances is that you cover all of your venues. I've talked about this in a previous episode of all my financial backups and stuff. I feel super confident investing, having so much money in crypto, because I've got all this gold, all this cash, physical cash, cash in my bank, cash in an alternate bank account, prepaid Visa cards, gift cards, crypto Visa cards, backup crypto, just anything you can think of. Honestly, I've got every possible avenue covered for my finances in case of any emergencies or anything like that. Emergency supplies counts too. I don't want to have to rush to try to get supplies in the midst of a flood, power outage, etc. You want to be prepared for all of these things. So this is just another thing that if you can, slowly I would start encouraging you to be buying extra cans of food when you go to the grocery store and stocking up and just finding ways to prepare yourself for emergencies, especially with everything going on in the world today. So, and then you've got, you know, Spotify, Amazon Prime, Patreon, Netflix, etc. $41,820 is the total estimate, which is quite a lot, but it's good because now you know exactly the amount that you need to sustain your current lifestyle. And you have a goal. You know, I need to make this amount of money or else I need to cut something back. You don't want to get to the point where you're near the end of the year and you've overspent $5,000, $10,000 and now you're maxing out credit cards and you're really digging a hole for yourself. What's much better is you've already planned everything out, you stick to your plan, and then you have leftover money each month that you can start building up a nest egg of emergency savings or whatever if you don't already have that. And then once you've got everything squared away, pay off your debts, you can start using that extra money to save and invest. Ideally to build for your retirement and future things that you want to do with your life. So now that you've got everything mapped out, the big difference here is now you actually know where you're aiming. Because most people have no idea what they're spending, so they don't know what money can I put away and save, because, you know, I've covered my budget for the month. I don't know how much is left. So people just spend, right? And don't, I mean, this is the worst thing you can do. You go through all this effort, you optimize, you start saving in all these different places, and then now you've got an extra $200 a month, and then you just, you know, go to the movies four times more a month now, and you just enjoy yourself a little bit more. Maybe that's all you want to do. But that's not going to be very, you know, good for your finances long term if the whole point of this is that you're trying to better yourself and your personal finance. What you want to do is you get your budget set, and then you know exactly how much money you need each month. Everything beyond that gets saved. Maybe you have a tiny little bit of extra money that you can play with each month to make your life a little bit more fun and interesting. But then everything beyond that 100% has to be saved and invested, ideally. So again, this really comes back to, you can't really be good at saving and investing and stuff if you don't know how much money you can put towards that. Because for example, if you're spending a lot, but you're like, oh, I think I have money left to be able to invest and save, you invest in a stock, and then you realize it's closer to the end of the year, oh, I overspent, I need that money back. Oh, the stock is doing poorly, I'm going to sell at a loss, lose money, and just to be able to afford the stuff that I need. But if you had the budget, you would have known that already. So now you're not going to lose money by investing and then selling at a loss, for example, because you want to hold long term with your investments, ideally. Like, none of this is financial advice, but ideally you want to hold your investments long term. So you don't want to be putting yourself in a position where you need to sell your assets in order to pay for the things that you need. And the only way that you could really know is with a budget. The budget seems like such a primitive tool. And the most common thing that people say when I say, well, do you budget? And they always say no. And then I say, well, why? And they say, a budget is not going to help me out of this mess. It's just numbers on an Excel sheet. No, that's the tool that you're using. A shovel isn't going to get me out of a driveway full of snow. I'm going to do it with the shovel and dig my way out. In the same way that a budget might help you dig your way out of debt. And it really doesn't feel that way. And it feels really intimidating when you start off. And it really feels like, oh, you're just making me waste more time. I'm already struggling with, you know, my finances. I don't have extra time to start doing this extra stuff. And it's like, okay, well, if you followed along with this video, I was able to just do this whole thing in like less than 30 minutes. And this is pretty much done at this point. I'll upload it like this so you have general price points that you could go off of and then just slightly adjust it. I mean, if you're really lazy, you could just try to use what I've set out here. But ideally, you would go, okay, well, what's my internet bill this month? Okay, it's 150, so let me just change that to 150, etc. And you would go through and you would do that for every expense. And you would add expenses or remove expenses as necessary that fits your budget. And then I've also got, you know, like notes on the sides, on the side of the Excel sheet and all that stuff where you can, you know, add notes or whatever you want to do. And yeah, it all adds up and it's extremely, extremely effective in improving your financial situation. And again, most people are not going to do this. I don't even expect 5% of you who are watching who aren't doing this to start. But if even 1% of you do, then I'm doing some good in my mind. So that's part of what this is all about. And I've extremely benefited from budgeting. Budgeting was the very first step I took into improving my personal finances and, you know, my journey into finance. And I went from starting with basically going paycheck to paycheck and some months even like losing money, slowly draining down my savings, to completely flipping it around. I understood how much I needed to save every month with my budget, and I started executing on that. And it makes it really, really easy to, oh, okay, maybe if I do this little side hustle and I'm making an extra $500, then I can, you know, do this thing or move this around and I can get to my goal faster. And, you know, you can play around with the Excel sheet to find little optimizations. Like you think, okay, well, maybe if I just spent a little bit less on this, what would that look like for my overall budget? It's like, wow, I'll save $1,000 for the whole year. Or you look at your budget and you go, my God, I'm spending $5,000 a year on alcohol. Like $5,000 a year could be, you know, doing so much more for me. Maybe I need to check myself and maybe make a change. All these kinds of things, it's very, very hard to see that without putting it all down and having this holistic view of your entire budget and your, all your finances all together. Again, most people are not going to opt in for this. Most people are going to think this is a waste of time. And that's why most people are financially struggling. I mean, I'm not saying it's because you're not budgeting, but it's the mindset attached to people who say, oh, I don't need to budget, or budgeting can't do anything for me. That's the mindset of someone who stays poor because they're not trying to use tools, financial tools, to dig their way out of their situation. Even if you are so deep, you need to do, you know, tons and tons of work and use many tools. This is still the first tool in the toolkit. You have to start somewhere. This is the easiest possible thing that you can start off doing. This doesn't cost you any money. It just takes you a little bit of time. And there's tons of apps and things out there that make this easy to do as well if you want to do it like that. I promised you guys I would give you some tips. So we'll talk about that before we end off here. Previously, when I was, you know, saving close to 70%, I was living like dirt. I didn't have a car. I was doing everything I possibly could to save money. I was living with multiple roommates. I'm 27, so I was living, you know, late into my 20s with multiple roommates, you know, all these different ways to save money. And it absolutely works. Before I took my personal finances seriously, as I said, I was living paycheck to paycheck. Now I'm up to about $175,000 in the last few years. And I could have never, ever imagined getting here. in such a short time. But it's only possible with financial discipline and using these kinds of tools to actually get there. So I think that's a success story. Some people might look at that and say, that's actually not that much money. Some people might look at that and say, like, that's a dream for me to be able to get $175,000 in a few years by practicing extreme financial discipline. Some other ways that I was able to save money was not drinking coffee unless I made it from home, using Keurig cups. You can get even more, you can save a lot more just by doing actual ground coffee and stuff. Switching your insurance, renegotiating your insurance, canceling your subscriptions, trying to renegotiate anything that you possibly can, your internet, threatening to switch and seeing if you can get a lower cost, whatever method. There's so many different ways to save money. You can get really extreme like me. When I had juice, I would only pour half the glass of juice and half the glass of water. So, you know, go buy orange juice. It's $6. Now I'm basically getting two jugs for the cost of one. Simple little things, they do add up. And I'm living proof that that's absolutely true. I was doing everything I possibly could to save money. I only wear black shirts, as you guys might notice. I still do a lot of these things. There's so many different things. It's almost hard for me to come up off the top of my head because to me, it's just everyday normal life. Like, just you only wear black shirts that are cheap from like H&M or something, and you're not wearing expensive clothes. You're not buying expensive coffee. You're not buying expensive anything, really. The only time that you really put money into something is if you know that it's going to bring you a lot of value inherently by doing that. So, for example, you buy cheap, kitchenware, like cheap pots, and then they go, like, they get all mucked up, and then you have to buy new pots not long after, but it would have been cheaper to buy slightly better pots because they would have lasted longer. You don't want to be cheap like that because you end up spending more money in some cases. You want to be frugal, which is finding ways to save money where possible, but it's always a like cost to value analysis, like a cost-benefit analysis, where you say, okay, well, if I spend more, is this going to do more for me? For example, even spending money can help you save money. So I'll give you an example. This probably won't be for a lot of people, but for some people. For people who work from home and they work a lot of hours, like entrepreneurs, you might actually be able to make more money by ordering your groceries with something like Instacart, for example, like I use. I order my groceries, and that time that I save, maybe it costs me an extra $20 to $50 to order my groceries. The time saved that I could work on important projects and things that I need to do in that day, that's going to make up for it. Because, you know, it'll take me like hour and a half to go to the grocery store, get everything I need, come home, unpack it, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, you're going to spend money on gas. There's a lot of other inherent costs. And, when I didn't have a car, obviously, that was part of it. So ordering groceries can save you a lot of money because then I didn't need a car. I didn't need car insurance. I didn't need gas, etc. I know a lot of places don't have places where you can order groceries, but this is just one example. It's not prescriptive. It's to get you thinking in your mind, okay, well, where could I potentially spend money to save money? Because again, you don't always think about frugality as you could spend money to save money. There's a lot of ways to save money, and the last way that people think of is spending money to save, but that is possible if you're extremely effective with how you execute. There's a million ways that you can save money. I'm sure I'd love to hear what you guys are doing in the comments below to see how you save money. And, I would love to eventually get to the point where I'm like homesteading. I got like chicken coop and growing my own food and everything like that. That is the absolute end goal, where I can save as much money as possible, lower my lifestyle to the lowest common denominator that I can tolerate, and then go from there. There's also something to be said that I've talked about a lot previously, which is called sensory adaptation. And I'll just briefly cover this before we end off. Sensory adaptation is how you adapt to your lifestyle, more or less. And I mean, that's not the actual definition. Sensory adaptation is your senses will adjust over time and everything will normalize. So how I would apply this is if I start cutting my juice with half water, originally it tastes watered down. But after about maybe a month, maybe 2 months, that's just normal juice now. And someone gives me juice, it will taste too sweet to me. My senses will have adapted. And because originally, you know, people say, oh, well, I don't want to cut my juice. I'll like the juice less. You do originally, and then your senses adapt, and then that's just what juice tastes like. And then you're not losing out. You're not missing out on anything. You don't have to like sacrifice and miss out to get these things. So eventually you will adapt. Your body will adapt and it won't be a big deal. So things that might seem annoying to do at first, you will get used to it. I got used to not having a car. I got used to all these things. It wasn't an issue. You just get used to it. And it sounds really like challenging, obviously, at first, but you do get used to it. This also works the other way. If you buy a new car that is more expensive and better than your old car, for the first 2 months, you'll be like, this is so great. I love this new car. After 2 months, your senses will adapt and this will just be my car. And it won't be that great, new, amazing car. It'll just be how I get from A to B. So with that in mind, if you truly understand this concept and you really internalize it, you will know that there's no reason for you to buy a nicer car because you are going to get used to it and you will not appreciate it that much after a short period of time. So this will help you stop yourself from unnecessarily upgrading things in your lifestyle and spending more money. And this will help encourage you to downgrade things in your life where possible because you will get used to that too. Regardless of what you do, you're highly likely to adapt and get used to it because the most successful species are the most adaptable species, not the strongest, not the smartest, etc. It's the most adaptable. So the best finances or the best people with personal finance are likely not necessarily the smartest people because you could be smart and have bad willpower, or the cheapest people because you could be really cheap and save a lot of money, but then you don't make much money. It's the people who can adapt the best to the current situation that they're in and then, you know, go from there. So that's pretty much everything for me on budgeting. Let me know, does this make sense? Am I, you know, puffing steam here? Am I making sense? Do you think I'm overestimating anything, underestimating anything? I'd love to hear how you guys are saving money. How are you budgeting? Do you budget? Do you see that most people aren't budgeting, or do you know a lot of people who do budget? I'd love to see, are these stats actually matching up? Let me know in the comments below. And also comment hashtag #NumberOneHam to let me know that you watched the whole video from start to finish. And that way I know that you watched everything. Anyways, that's everything from me. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Scott Cunningham, aka Scottsy Business, signing off. Cheers.